and a true man of God. And so would you please welcome him?
Am I there? Am I good? Can you hear me? Oh, that song gets me every time. Everything that I prayed for this morning, you guys prayed to a T. Like what I asked for God to do. His presence is here. It's going to be good. This is going to be good. Like Todd said, I have the awesome opportunity to work for just an amazing organization. I get to love on students. Some of our students are here today, so if you get a chance, please bless them. They're mine. I own them. Not own them, but I definitely claim them as my own. Like, I love those guys. So thank you guys for being here. It means a lot. Maybe I'll just cry the whole time. This will be great. Thank you. Just take all of them. Today I want it to be fairly simple. I'm going to share some thoughts with you, some stories. But I want for you guys to know and feel empowered today. This is something that God's been working in my heart for a long time. And when Todd gave me the opportunity to speak, one, it's so humbling. I love this. I love you. True Life is awesome. I feel at home here every time I'm here. I just feel like it's just another one of my churches that I get to call home. But I want it to be simple. I don't want to kind of overcomplicate things. We're going to read a lot of scripture. I'm going to invite Bryce up in just a little bit. You're good right now. He's going to help me read a lot of scripture. So I'm going to have it up on the screen if you have your word or your phone out. We're going to be just kind of jumping around. But if you haven't got it yet, we're going to talk about God, and God is our healer. And God is going to, he's going to do some cool things today. I just know it. He has to. Frankly, it'll be nothing if he doesn't. We are nothing if God doesn't show up, ever. These meetings don't matter. They're meaningless unless God shows up, right? He's going to show up today. It's going to be really, really awesome. But before we do that, we're going to do something really quick. What I want to do is, as we go today, and it's already been prayed about, which is awesome, but I want to increase your faith in who God is, and who Scripture says God is, and how we can walk in him daily. So right now, what I want you to do, who's ever sitting around you, if you don't know them, introduce yourself and whatever, but just for a little bit, I want you to pray out loud, but I want you to pray for the people next to you. I want you to pray for increased faith, that they would just grow in faith today in who Jesus is, but also that any distractions that are going on in life, that they would just kind of dissolve right now, and that we'd be able to lock into God's word and what he has for us today. And just pray for open eyes, open hearts. I don't got to give you all the exact words, but so can we do that right now? Just if you can lay hands on each other, you don't have to, but just like, and you don't even have to, you can pray all at the same time. I mean, just pray for each other at the same time. Please just pray aloud. It's normal if everybody just does it. But just pray for increased faith for each other, and then I'll kind of just close us in prayer when it's kind of done. Does that make sense? All right, go. Just increase our faith, Lord God. Increase our faith today. God, even if we don't know you as well as we want to know you, I ask you to show up in individual ways with each person here today. Because it's what you do. It's who you are. We're desperate for you. We want more of you. Pour out today, Jesus. Thank you. And you pray. Amen. Well, thanks for doing that. We're going to have, honestly, I wish I could just skip over most of it because we're going to pray over each other again later. But again, I want to work through some of this stuff because I want to increase your faith, but I also want to dispel, I think, some of the lies and the things that we have believed just because of life that we've experienced. So I'm not up here saying Barry's perfect at this and is all-knowing, like, nope, that's just Jesus. Like, I even wore my Jesus shirt today. I would, but I feel like I need to have this on. I'm excited. This is going to be awesome. This is about Jesus. It's about his word, and we want to stay in line with that, right? So some of you have come today, maybe you've experienced God before. Maybe you're experiencing him even through his word and prayer, which is awesome. Maybe you've experienced God in the past, but it's kind of been a while. Maybe you're in kind of a dry season and you're like, you know, like, I believe God's there, but I haven't really actually experienced him. You know, feel your skin right now. Like, you're experiencing your skin, right? Like, there, it's right there. It's real. God is even more real. As real as your skin is, and you can touch it, you can feel it, God is even more real. And some of you maybe are here and you're like, you know, I've read my Bible a lot, I've prayed a lot, but I can't say I've really experienced God. Like, it kind of feels like a one-way relationship. Like, I'm always talking at God, but I don't ever hear anything. And I'm here to also tell you, if that's you, that's okay. But it's not okay to not ever experience God. So today you're going to experience God. You see, sometimes we get scared at experience, and we're like, Barry, why are you talking about experience so much? Like, it's about truth. It's about the word, right? We need to stand on truth and the word. Like, that's more important. But I'm also here to tell you that I didn't marry Megan just to have a book about her. Right? That'd be odd. If you guys didn't know Megan on the guitar, that's my wife. I didn't marry her so that I could get a book about her and read about her and then just theoretically pray to her, right? Or, you know, talk to her just out, oh, Megan. Like, no, like, I married Megan so that I could experience life with her, right? Of course, stand on truth. Of course, do that thing together, right? But if I don't experience life with her, what's the point in marrying her, right? And it's the same thing with Jesus. You see, so often in churches, we think experiences, oh, that's way charismatic, and truth, well, we just go back and forth, we go back and forth. I'm sorry, but we need both. We need to have both. If we don't have both, we don't have, a lot of ways, a true relationship with Jesus. Would you have a true relationship with your spouse again if you didn't do anything with them? No. We need an experience with Jesus, and it's okay to want it. It's okay to want to experience Jesus. Sometimes we feel like it's like a selfish thing, or, well, I don't want to just live life on experience. No, you don't have to. You have truth, and all your experiences are always going to and from truth, right? I experienced something. Is that in line with what God is doing? And right, you're always going back and forth. But never should we sway so far to one side that we forget that Jesus wants to experience life with us, that he wants to touch us. He wants to heal us, not just physically, spiritually, emotionally, on so many levels. So you're on board with that? Hopefully you're coming here today because you want to experience God. That's why I'm here. I want to experience God. And I was honestly a little nervous, but I'm like, God, this might suck if you don't do anything. I'm like, but you know what? Like, that's impossible. God's here. He even said in his word that as people gather, he's there. He's present. And also, I kind of want to lay a little bit of groundwork before we get going to some scripture. Everything we talk about today is going to come from this perspective, and I believe that we would all believe this, that Jesus came to earth from God, as God, but fully as a man. And in Philippians, it says that essentially he did not consider his godliness or his equality with God as something to be grasped, meaning he sort of shed his godliness and he said, I'm going to be completely a man. Jesus didn't experience life as like a superhero, like, oh, when I'm fasting, yeah, it's kind of like I'm fasting, but I'm actually just God, so I'm okay. No, like, he was fully man. He felt hunger. Jesus probably skinned his knee. He probably bled. I mean, we know he bled at the cross, right? Jesus was fully man. Now, why this is so important is that everything Jesus did was walking in communion, in oneness with his Father. The Bible says that it says the Father is in Jesus, but through the Holy Spirit, Jesus walked. So Jesus walked the perfect will of God, which is why we follow him, because he walked the perfect will of God. But the coolness of that is that he walked in obedience to the Holy Spirit, meaning Jesus did not heal people because he was God. He healed people because he had the power of God in him through the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So when they ask Jesus, when is the end times? And he says, I don't know, only the Father knows. He's telling the truth. As a man, he does not know. Only the Father knows. So he is walking in obedience to God through the Holy Spirit. Meaning, that frees us to know that Anything Jesus did, we have access to. So if you want to go to the next slide, Noah. I get pumped for this scripture. This is John 14, 12 to 14. It says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I'll do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask for anything in my name and I'll do it. Now this is a side note, but if you look in the footnote of your Bible, sometimes I laugh at the footnotes in my Bible. I'm sorry, like I don't know these scholars that write them in there. But I'm not sure they like believe that miracles still happen today. Because they'll write a footnote on this and they'll say, well, this doesn't mean that we're gonna do any like miracles or anything. But it means that we'll like make disciples and stuff. I'm sorry. It says, I tell you the truth, any who believes in me will do the same works. Yes, that's disciple making. Yes, that's loving people. But we'll do exactly what Jesus did. I'm sorry, like you can't take it out. We were at summer camp this summer, and Megan and I got to serve at, it was actually a middle school summer camp. We were out in Iowa, and we had this lice breakout among two girls. It was terrible. And of course, I'm thankful I'm not a nurse. Oh, good job, Megan. go after the lice people. And so the two nurses are like attending to these young girls, and they said, Barry, go man the nurse station, which I laugh, and I'm like, all right, power of Jesus. Like, let me just stand by the nurse's station. Anybody that comes is going to be healed. It's going to be awesome. And these girls are kind of standing around, and they're standing right by the door. And I said, can I help you girls? What's going on? And this girl's like, yeah, my back is hurting really, really bad. I said, okay, well, what happened? And she's like, I don't know. It's just been hurting really bad. And I want some ibuprofen or Tylenol or something. And I said, okay. I said, well, the nurses aren't here right now. And I started just sharing the gospel with them. Now, these kids are hearing the gospel throughout this week. And so I started sharing with them how much Jesus loves them and how much, and the reality that because Jesus is still alive today, that he still loves to heal our bodies. I said, would you let me pray for your back? And she kind of looked at me weird, like, what? Why? And I was like, well, can you just let me pray for you? And I was like, okay, whatever. So I think she said her pain level was at like a 7 or something. And so I pray, and she's like, it's still there. And I said, okay. I said, is it any better? And she's like, yeah, it's probably like a 2. And I was like, what do you mean it's still there? Like, it's going down? Like, it's a 2 now? And she's like, well, yeah, but it's still there. And I said, okay, can I pray again? She's like, well, sure. And I said, watch, Jesus will take it all away. So I pray, and all her pain leaves. And she's like, what? Are you serious? And I was like, yeah. I was like, what I just told you, Jesus is real. He loves you, and he wants for you to be well. And she's like, that's crazy. And when her friend comes up and she like pulls another girl, she's like, do you see what just happened? She's like, my back feels totally better. She's like, what? Well, my arm hurts. Can you heal my arm? And I'm like, of course, middle schoolers, this is the way it's going to go, right? And I said, well, watch this. I said, I'm going to show you that it's not something that like is only in me. I said, the Holy Spirit will flow through anybody. So I said, watch this. So you who just got healed, I said, put your hand on her arm. I said, all right now, let's pray. I said, you know, thank you for this girl. And I said, right now, in Jesus' name, I command this pain, get out. Harm, be completely healed. Immediately, she's like, oh, my word, pain's gone. I was like, and they both started freaking out at this point. They were like, what? Are you kidding me? Another girl, and then some girl's like, well, I've had, like, knee pain. Can you guys pray for my knee? And I said, well, girl, your arm was healed. I said, why don't you pray for her knee? Again, what am I doing? I'm just showing them that this wasn't anything crazy about Barry. It's just the power of Jesus, right? And so she touches her knee. I think we prayed once or twice. All her pain leaves. I was like, this is the best day ever. I can't wait to tell Megan when she comes back. It's going to be awesome. And then we had another kid there. And he looks at me with big eyes. And I like interact with this kid. And he pulls off his hood and he goes, does that mean Jesus can heal me? And he had hearing aids. And I was like, absolutely. That means Jesus can heal you. And so I had the girl whose knee was healed put her hands on his ears, which she was really weirded out, like, oh, boy, you know, like middle schoolers. And I was like, come on, it's okay. Like, it's worth it, right? I mean, your body was just healed. Like, isn't it worth it for him to receive his hearing? And she prays once, and this kid goes, I want to take my hearing aids off. And I said, okay. And he takes them off. He's like, let's pray again. So we prayed again. He's like, it's honestly a little louder. I was like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah, it's like actually a little louder. I'm like, well, don't make this up. I'm not like, you know, praying for people. Just make something up, so then I feel good about myself. Like, it's not about me. If it's louder, then you know, that's good. And we pray again, and it ends up, and it didn't go any further. But this kid, he was like, I mean, walking back with me, and he's like, Barry, this is amazing. I'm like, what? He's like, and this is, remind you, this is a middle schooler. He's probably seventh grade. He goes, we have real authority. I looked at him, I said, you better believe we do. I said, by the power of Jesus, like, as Jesus lives in us in the Holy Spirit, I said, we have real authority. And he's like, this is amazing. Thank you. And he, I mean, like, in the rest of that week, I think we only had like 2 days left, he was just like in awe, and he would come around me and we would just talk. And he was eating it up. But I share with you those stories because that's how real Jesus is. It wasn't anything crazy going on. We were just praying in Jesus' name, and Jesus was touching and healing these kids. It was awesome. Bryce, you want to come up here? Bryce is going to help me read through a few of these scriptures. Is this mic good if he uses it? You just got to turn it back on. All right, so we're just going to kind of work through a bunch of scriptures and talk about it a little bit as we go. So it'll be up on the screen. Good? All right, so Bryce is going to read first Romans 5, 3 through 5 for us.
We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know our dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love.
So maybe you're like, Barry, what does it have to do with healing? We see sometimes when we pray for people, we don't see anything, right? But as you look at that scripture, that as we face trials, as we face things that we don't want or things that kind of oppose us, they are never to diminish our faith in who Jesus is. Because it is Jesus that we put our hope in, right? Not somebody's healing. It is Jesus that we put our hope in. So whenever we're disappointed, quite often it's our own expectation or thing that we're putting our hope in. And that's wrong. Because it should never be in my expectation that I put my hope in. If Jesus didn't touch any of those kids, I wouldn't say, like, man, Jesus, are you kidding? Like, no. Are you kidding? Jesus doesn't change by what I see, right? What I experience in life isn't truth. This is truth, right? Jesus is truth. So what I see does not change my hope. And so as we face trials, may it develop our endurance to keep going. When I see somebody not healed, man, I want to push through for the next one because I want to see them healed. You see, because the past healing never affects the next healing, and the next healing never affects the next healing. Does that make sense? All right, go read the next one. Exodus, this next one is Exodus 15, just 26.
He said, He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.
I am the Lord who heals you. In both Psalms and then also in Exodus, it talks about when the Israelites left, there was none feeble, like, even among them. It says nobody tripped, like, in walking in obedience to the Lord. We need to trust that he will also, both physically with our bodies, like, this is what he does. This is the heart of God. You can go to the next one. So this is from Acts 5. I love this story. This is crazy. So this is starting at verse 16, if you're turning there. Acts 5, starting at verse 12. So it says this. It says, the apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all believers were meeting regularly in the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. But no one else dared to join them, even though the people had high regard for them. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women. As a result, the apostles' work, sick people were brought out of the streets on beds and mats, not so Peter could touch them, so that Peter's shadow might fall on them. fall across them as they went by, as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick, they're possessed by evil spirits, and they all were healed. Did it say some were healed? Just a couple were healed? All were healed. This isn't even Jesus. Well, it is, right? Jesus flowing through Peter. But what faith these people had, hey, bring your sick out to the road just so that Peter's shadow could fall on him. Where is their faith, right? They're like, there's something going on here, and we have faith that let's bring our sick out because they're going to get healed. You know what I asked myself? Where did the church get off? At what point and why did people stop bringing the sick to the church? Why are people not like running to the church so that they can experience the healing power of Jesus? Honestly, this is Barry's opinion. I believe our faith and comfortability has stopped it. You see, it's hard to explain what happens when somebody's healed or why somebody's healed, but it's harder to explain when nothing happens. And so it's much easier to kind of say, you know what? God's got this. Like, if God wants to do it, he can do it. But, if not, then whatever. Like, whatever God wants to do. And so we kind of remove ourselves from the situation, from the equation. Well, God, whatever you want to do, your will be done. I think we've done a disservice to the world. They brought their sick to, like, they were like, running to them. Guys, the same power that is flowing through these men is the same power that we get to have inside of us. Nothing has changed, right? The scripture says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If this is what God does, then why don't we see it today? I'm pointing that at myself too. Go to the next one. Mark 16, 15 to 18. It says this. And then he told them, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. So who will it accompany? Those who believe. Do you guys believe in Jesus? So these signs will follow you if you believe. Okay, keep going. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. This is crazy. They will handle snakes with safety. They will drink any poisonous things, and it won't hurt them. But in the end, this is the best. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they maybe will be healed, and they will be healed. They will be. These signs will follow them that believe. So then I ask myself, well, maybe I don't believe. Maybe we don't believe as a church. We say we do. Maybe I don't. There's another kid this is a high school summer camp. I didn't know this happened, but this kid, like, we had these massive blobs in the lake, right? And kids are jumping off them, and this kid jumps off and, like, somehow, like, totally shanks his wrist, like, destroys it. And he had gone to the ER and stuff, and he was sitting, like, this beautiful Young Life camp up in Lake City. He's sitting around this lake with this girl, and I was with a few students, and with my students, I'm always walking and teaching them like what it looks like to see people through the eyes of Jesus, but also like to know the power and authority we have as we see sick people, and that we don't need to bat an eye at it. Like, we can step in and just like Jesus did. And so we see this kid, and he has a something on his wrist, and I was like, hey, look at that. I was like, he has something on his wrist. I was like, we should go check it out. And my guy's like, yeah, yeah, let's do it, let's do it. So we walk over there, said, hey, what's going on in your wrist? And he shared us a little bit what happens and what had happened. And I looked at him, I said, well, would you let us pray for you? I said, and Jesus will heal your wrist. And he said, no, nah, it doesn't work like that. And I looked at him, I said, and I, this just kind of came out, I didn't really think about it. I said, you want to bet? Some of you were like, are you kidding me? Wow, how would you say that? I said, you want to bet? And he goes, yeah. I said, okay, let us pray for you. Okay. And so I had one of my students lay hands on him, and we pray for him. And he's like, I was like, so what does it feel? And he's like, all the pain's gone. I said, oh, that's pretty cool, isn't it? He's like, yeah, that's amazing. He's like, he didn't want to take off his brace because his doctor had, like, I think, totally put fear in him. Like, you, like, this thing is really messed up. He was like, no, I'm serious. Like, the pain's gone. I was like, well, praise Jesus. I was like, you see, like, I'm not saying, I proved you wrong. But, like, no, like, this is Jesus' love for you. He sees you. He cares about you. And you spoke some words of life into him. And he was like, oh, my word. He was genuine at this point. He was like, thank you. Like, I was like, absolutely. And so it was so cool for my students also to see, like, oh, my word. We were at a party later at camp, and this is awesome because I love it when my kids begin to see through the eyes of Jesus, and they were like, Barry, there's hurt people everywhere. And I said, well, we got to pray for them then. And so, like, I mean, we prayed for this girl's foot, and her pain left. And, like, I mean, they were like, it was awesome. I was like, yes, they're beginning to see it, right? There was this other kid at, this is back at the middle school summer camp. This is like one of the last nights, it was like they're having a dance party, and he fell on his elbow. And he came up to the nurse's office, and he could not move his arm. Like he couldn't move it. Like it was so painful, he couldn't move it. And so I'll just tell you, maybe this sounds selfish, but my role was to help the nurses, but I also had to take care of like any ER runs if we had to do that. And a year ago at this camp was the worst camp in the history, basically of YFC camp. I think they had two or three ER runs within the first like 24 hours of this camp, and like I think a total of six or so ER runs. I mean, one kid got pushed in the fire on the last day. I mean, it was hell. Like, it was terrible. Just kids all over the place. Anyway, so we were following this camp the next year, and they were like trying to amp up. This is a big deal, and like, internally and with Megan, I was like, in the name of Jesus, I was like, this is not happening this year. I was like, I will not let it happen. And I will not allow any kids to go to the ER. Not because I don't want them to be well, but I want for Jesus to just do his thing. And so anyway, this kid, this is one of the last nights, and Megan and the other nurse were like, he may have to go to the ER if this doesn't get better, because it's really, really painful. He can't move it. And as soon as I heard he might have to go to the ER, I was like, all right, let me go back. I said, I got to pray for him. And so I came up, and this is a kid I'd been talking to a little bit, and this is the first time I've had this, I think, specifically, but as I prayed for his elbow, I felt his arm, like, twitch or, like, move under my hand. I was like, whoa. And one thing after you pray for somebody, like, you always ask them to test it, because what good does it do if, like, pray you be healed, see you later. Like, I mean, right? Like, I want to know that Jesus is going to touch the person I'm praying for. And so I'm like, well, can you test it? I was like, don't do anything too crazy. I don't want you to hurt yourself. And I literally pray for him, and he goes, yeah, it feels great. This kid, right in the nurse's station, yeah, this feels great. I was like, seriously? He's like, chucked his ice bag and sprinted out, went back to the dance. I was like, what? Like, I mean, literally just like that. I was like, Jesus, how good are you? I mean, I just felt so blessed. I mean, like, yeah, I didn't want to go to the ER, but how much more awesome for him to be well right now. That was cool. That'll never get old. You can go to the next scripture. Bryce, you got this one.
Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 5. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed.
Does more need to be said? That verse almost brings me to tears every time. He was whipped He was beaten so we could be healed. For us. That's why he did it. Some of you might ask, Barry, why so much on this healing thing? Why are you focusing so much on this? So I'll be honest, I think us as a church, we've kind of been off the mark a little bit. And I say that myself included. I think sometimes when crisis happens, right? Someone gets cancer, something happens. What do? We get it on all the prayer lines. We get as many people praying as possible, right? Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's good for the body of Christ to pray. I think it's great. But here's the truth. Each and every one of you have the very authority of Jesus inside of you. Your prayer is enough. You don't ask for more prayer to somehow get more healing. Does that make sense? Like, you can ask for people to pray. That's great. But don't do it as like a rescue me mission. Does that make sense? The authority of one believer in the room of 100 non-believers is the majority. Does that make sense? The power of one believer, just one believer in the room, I don't care if you're in a room full of atheists who hate God. I don't care. You are the majority. You have the authority of Jesus. The Bible says that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. What does that mean? Someone has no authority. Who's that? The devil, right? He has no authority because all authority. He didn't say 98% has been given to Jesus and the devil has 2. That's why he's going rampant in the world. Jesus has all authority. You want to know why he comes at us? Because we have the authority. Because Jesus has given it to us. So that's why he's coming at us. He wants that authority back. And as we give it back to him, which we do by our fear, right? By all the things that we do. Like, when we begin to follow in his ways, we begin to give the Satan the authority that's been given to us. Now we give Satan that authority. We do it. But all authority has been given to you. So why am I focused on this? I think we got to get back to the wholeness of the gospel. We got to get back to the wholeness. I mean, man, Jesus had a lot of great sermons, but he did a lot of awesome things. This next scripture is awesome. Go ahead, the next one there. So this is Hebrews 2, starting in verse 1. So you must listen carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message of God delivered through angels has always stood firm. And every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And this is the part. And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. God confirmed his message in Jesus, in the disciples, through signs and wonders, and through gifts of the Holy Spirit. He confirmed it. That's my stamp of approval. Like, it was, people heard Jesus walk in authority, but they also saw him walk in authority, right? Same with the apostles. So I ask myself, and I want us to ask ourselves, why is it that most of our churches don't see any confirmation like this anymore? Why don't we see confirmation? Now, maybe some of you are like, no, Barry, we have. Like, we've prayed for things and God's worked, which, awesome, praise Jesus. But I think there's more. See, it baffles me now that, and mostly so just because Jesus has, like, brought me and grown me in this, that so many Christians can go a lifetime without even seeing a miracle happen in front of them. Because we've convinced ourselves, well, that's so few far in between. Like, that happens, you know, I mean, like, come on. There was a story of a guy named Donnie Irving who's doing ministry right in Grand Rapids. He was with Youth for Christ for a while. Now he has his own nonprofit, actually. It's really awesome. He does community ministry. One of his early times, he shared this story, and he wanted to share a meal for all his community kids, and he had like a little bit of spaghetti and like, I think Jody probably knows the story, and like some cereal or something, I don't know. And like loads of kids start coming, and he's like, I don't have enough food. Guess what happened? The spaghetti never ran out. Not kidding. Like, it didn't run out. And he's like, I have no idea. Like, he's like, it's unbelievable. So when I hear that, what's our first instinct sometimes? Yeah, right. I'd have to see it, right? I'd have to be there to believe that. But why wouldn't Jesus, right? He's trusting Jesus in providing for these kids. Why wouldn't Jesus step in that way? And why wouldn't he do the same miraculous signs through us today? Again, Jesus is either different now than he was, or he's the same. Is he different or he's the same? He's the same, right? Is he alive now or is he dead? He's alive. Okay. So if this is who Jesus is, then let's go. Right? You see, miracles, these signs and wonders, even these like little stories I'm telling you guys, I'm not telling you so you're like, oh, Barry, he's got an anointing. No. I'm just like, Jesus taught me and taught me how to like trust him and walk in faith. You see, these miracles, in my mind, and they need to be, and the scripture, I think, says, they're just a byproduct of your sonship. If you're a son, if you believe, he says, these signs will follow them that believe. So they're just a byproduct of sonship. As you walk in the Son, this is, I'm telling you what you have access to. This is the authority you have access to. But again, if you don't take the authority, if you don't want the access, well, then that's on you. But this is what, like, these aren't my words, right? Like, this is the word. There's another quick story. So Megan and I were meeting with a student, and she's going through a lot of different things. And she ended up sharing about, she has crazy knee issues. She used to be a catcher, and she's like, it's been like this for years. She had gotten to a point where she's just like, it's just life, it's whatever. She said, surgery's too expensive, you know, I'll just deal with the pain. And we looked at her, and I looked at her and I said, you don't have to do that. I get that, you know, I can cope with it. But the word tells me, Jesus tells me that he loves you, he cares for you, and he wants for you to be well. And she looked at us and I said, well, could we just pray for you? So we just grabbed her hands and we prayed once and she's like, honestly, the pain has gone down a bit. So could we pray again? Right in the middle of Chick-fil-A. Pray again. And as like, I mean, tears running down my face and this and hers too. And she's like, all the pain's gone. She's like, I don't remember what it's like to not have pain. I think we just asked her the other day too, and it's still gone. I mean, Jesus touched her. I'm not sure how much faith she had in that, right? But I think God honored our faith. This is the authority we have. Come and experience him. Come and experience Jesus. This is who he is. It's what he does. This is kind of a bigger scripture. If you guys want to turn to me to this one, this one's Luke 8. We're going to start in verse 40. Even the title of it, Jesus Heals in Response to Faith. So before we read this, we already prayed for it once. I'm sorry, if we went long, we started 10 minutes late, so just remind yourself of that. We started 10 minutes late, like, give me some grace on that. He heals in response to faith. So as we read this, and as we again talk about it, I need you guys, even right now, your faith has the power to change what's going to happen today. You want to know? Because your doubt also has the power to change what's going to happen today. It's the truth. Your faith has the power to change atmospheres. Not just now, but forever. Wherever you walk, your faith has the power to change everything. You need to believe that, because that's true. All right, so we're going to read this. Starting in verse 40. On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus and a leader of a local synagogue came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by crowds. A woman in the crowd who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, the whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain and why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has healed you."
While he was still speaking to her, a message arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith, and she will be healed." When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing, but he said, "Stop the weeping. She isn't dead. She's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew she had died. Then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, "My child, get up." And at that moment, her life returned, and she immediately stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted they not tell anyone what had happened.
So I ask a question. Would the lady who was bleeding, would she have been healed if she would not have touched Jesus' robe? Would she have been healed if she would not have touched Jesus' robe? Nope. What healed her? Her faith. Her faith healed her. No one else. She just thought, she had no cure. The doctors couldn't figure it out. If I could just, like, brush up against his robe. Wow. And then, right after that, right, someone comes running up. "Hey, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter's died." Now, I can't imagine Jairus' reaction of that, right? Like, you get the news that your daughter died. What did Jesus say? "Have faith. Believe. She will be healed." Now, this is a side note, but this will blow your mind. Why don't we, when people die, bring them back to life? You're like, "Barry, are you kidding me? They're dead." Why did Jesus bring her back to life? We have the power of the Holy Spirit in him, right? But here's also why I believe. And sometimes you make excuse for God, I think. When somebody dies, we say, "Well, it was their time. God took them home." Well, right? Clearly it wasn't this girl's time, right? Or Jesus wouldn't have brought her back, right? Clearly it wasn't Lazarus' time, meaning their death was premature, meaning there's an enemy that is coming after us that is trying to take us out. There is sickness that is coming after our bodies that's trying to take us out, and it's not God. This girl's death was premature, so what does Jesus do? Have faith, she will be healed. He walks over there, she gets up. Call me crazy, but I'm just trying to like take the word. If Jesus says that I'll do what he does, I'm not sure we should blanket every death and just say, "Oh, I guess it was God's will." Right? Some of you even will say, "Well, Barry, I'm not even sure it's God's will for all to be healed." I might ask you this: is it God's will for everybody to be saved? The word says so, right? Is everybody saved? No. Was it God's will for family members of ours and others you know to get cancer? Was it God's will for people to enter into the porn industry? Was it God's will for Hitler to kill millions of people? Was it God's will for people to die from drug overdose? I think you guys know the answer to all those, right? No, absolutely not. Well, just because they happened then, should we then just say, well, I guess that's the way God wanted it to be. He didn't do anything about it, so is that the stance we're going to take? See, somehow we've done this with healing also. When we don't see healing, we kind of just say, well, God can do what he wants. You know, it's all about him anyway, and we kind of remove ourselves from the equation. If you guys could, flip the next scripture. You're good up here, so yeah, you don't need to. Thank you. Give Bryce a round of applause. Could you just say this with me real quick? This is just the first part of the Lord's Prayer. All right. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right, so most of you could keep going. In heaven, is there sickness? No. In heaven, you know, is there cancer? Is there all, like, no, right? Okay, so what are we praying? What did Jesus tell us to pray? May your kingdom come on earth, here we are on earth, as it is in heaven. So we are to live from heaven to earth, never the other way around. See, quite often we live from earth to earth of, oh, you weren't healed? Well, let me make some excuse. Oh, well, that person died from cancer? Well, maybe, no, like, I'm to live from heaven to earth. Does that make sense? So we pray it, but do we live it, right? Do we allow for this to actually be a part of our lives? God, like, that's what Jesus did. That's what he's doing in us. Like, it's the Holy Spirit in us bringing heaven to earth. So therefore, we get to see heaven here now. And part of heaven here now is sickness leaving. You see, at the name of Jesus, all sickness has to go. It has to. It has to go. It's who Jesus is. Now, here's the thing. Some of us have already began to live into our own sicknesses, even people around us that have had sicknesses. Oh, well, I was born like this, you know? Well, God's been glorified through it. Like, he's used my story, and you name it. I'm sure you guys have heard it, right? And I've even talked to people, and I've prayed over diabetics that have said, well, you know, God's used my story in powerful ways, and being a diabetic, I'm able to relate to other diabetics and stuff. I'm like, but wouldn't you rather not be a diabetic? Right? Like, wouldn't you want for Jesus to touch you and heal you? Right? But what do? We live into the sickness and the things around us, and we kind of say, well, you know, we know God works for the good of those who love him, so if he's working for my good, then I'll just deal with the sickness, and God will be glorified through it. No, God will glorify himself in anything. You've seen some of the hardest stories, right, that God has glorified himself, and he will. But may we not get away from the fact that it is God's will for us to be healed. If we're bringing heaven to earth and there's no sickness in heaven, then it is God's will for us to be healed. Not one person Jesus interacted with was not healed. Any person that Jesus touched was healed. Jesus walked the will of God. If that's the will of God, then it's still the will of God today. Does that make sense? It's still the will of God today. So we're going to pray for each other today. But first, I just kind of want to do a little, not really demonstration, but I just kind of want to show you guys what this can look like, but what it looks like to actually take authority in the way that I think Jesus wants us to take authority. So I'm assuming there's people here that want to be prayed over, I'm hoping, people that have things, and even if you guys have, if there's people outside of this room, this building, that have things that need to be prayed over, we're going to pray over those things too. But is there somebody here right now that has, maybe you have back pain, not just like, oh, it just happened right now, but like, you've had back pain, you have arm pain, you have shoulder pain, neck pain, anything. Anybody in this room? No healing need today. You have knee pain. All right, Carl, can you come up here? You also do, Dan? All right, well, maybe we'll have you guys pray for each other. Come to stand right here. What's going on with you, Dan?
Just chronic back pain.
Chronic back pain? Okay. And you have knee pain?
Yep.
Which knee?
Both
knees. If you were to say, like, 1 out of 10, what's the pain level in your knees right now?
Right this minute, 5.
5? Okay. So, now, in all sickness, all pain, like, these things, again, God is not holding on to our sickness in our bodies. That's the evil one. Now, it's not that the evil one is possessing his legs, but it's of the evil one that's holding on to the sickness. Does that make sense? And so, when I pray for somebody, or when you can pray for somebody, you don't need to ask God to come and rescue this person and heal this person. Why? Because who's inside of me? Jesus, the Holy Spirit. So, I have the very authority to cast the sickness out by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? So I'm not going to say, God, would you please come and touch Dan right now? God's like, I'm in you. Why are you calling me? You didn't call me any closer. I'm just right there, right? So I'm going to have Dan pray for Carl real quick. And we're going to see what happens. But here's the thing. When I pray for somebody, first I'll pray like and bless. Like I want to bless Carl because I know Carl and Carl's an awesome dude. So I want to bless Carl. But at some point in my prayer, so I'm just going to give you words, Dan, so it's not going to be crazy, but I'm going to stop talking to God, and I'm going to start talking to the sickness. Because by the authority of Jesus, this sickness has to go. And just like if, it's my favorite analogy, but just like if you're a police officer, right, and you see somebody stealing something at a store, are you going to, one, call your sheriff and say, hey, I found somebody stealing. Can you come down here and get them? Or are you just going to take care of the problem? Which one? You're going to take care of the problem. So here's the thing. God's given you the badge, the authority. He's given you everything you need in your tool belt to take care of the problem. So you speak to the problem. You don't call for the sheriff. You don't call for God to come and do it. Does that make sense? We take care of the problem because we've been given the authority. The sheriff would hear that cop and be like, brother, we got to have a talk. Maybe this is not the right field for you, right? How many guys do you let it get away now? Like, no, that's ridiculous. All right, does that make sense? So it's at a 5 right now. Just put your hand on his knees. Watch, I'm having the guy with a chronic back pain bend over. This is working really well. All right, Dan, just say, God, thanks for Carl. Thank you for his servant heart. Thank you for the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for the Holy Spirit.
Right now, in Jesus' name, I command all pain to leave Carl's knees. Get out right now. In Jesus' name, complete healing right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so, and then in praying, we just say, Carl, be honest with us. Don't make anything up. What do you feel? There's no pain?
At this moment, there's no pain.
Can you do anything to make, like, to feel?
It kind of comes and goes, but right now there's no pain.
Praise God. That's awesome. So that's really cool. Sometimes it happens the first time. Sometimes I'll pray the first time and they'll be like, nothing happened. But you want to know what Jesus did the first time when he touched somebody's blind eyes and he said, I see trees? What did he do? Oh, that's good enough, brother. Keep going. No. What did he do? He touched his eyes again, right? So if Jesus gets 2 times, even once, I can have as many as I want, right? So even if you don't see anything, it's not that we stop praying. Praise God, that's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so why don't you put your hand on Dan's back. What's your pain level at right now? I mean, it's chronic, but what do you feel?
About 3 or 4.
A 3 or 4?
Pretty much, it's pretty consistent.
Just steady? Okay. All right, we say Jesus. Thank you for Dan.
Thank you for Dan.
Thank you for his heart. For his servant's heart,
for
running sound. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit.
Thank you for your Holy Spirit.
Right now,
in Jesus' name,
back, be healed
right now.
All pain,
get out
right now, in Jesus' name. A brand new back
right now.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, don't make it up. If nothing happened, nothing happened. But you said it was a 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
What is it now?
Pretty much the same.
Pretty much the same?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, again, in that, sometimes you pray and nothing's changed. Now, in that, I also determine, so say this is a person at Walmart, I don't know who Dan is. Now, if Dan's like super creeped out by me, right, I might ask if I can pray again. But if Dan's like, thank you for praying, I might ask again. Dan, could we pray again? Could we? Put your hand on his back. Jesus, you're good. Thank you for your love. Right now, in Jesus' name, command all these vertebrae to line up right now. All back pain, get out right now. We bind the spirit of infirmity, and we cast it out in Jesus' name. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So again, just to assess, you said it was 3 or 4. Feel it. What does it feel like? A little less. So is it like a 1? Is it like a 2? A 2? But it's down. You can tell it's down a little bit?
Yep.
Awesome. Should we pray one more time and all this pain will go? Yeah? This would be great. All right, put your hand on his back. Jesus, thanks for your love. Thank you for healing his back right now. And now, right now, we command the rest of the pain to go. Right now, in Jesus' name. Complete healing right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so check it out. Feel it. Move it around. That's a pretty good bend. What's it feel like?
Pretty good. I'm mostly just stiff.
Pretty good? Do you feel any pain?
Not really.
Not really?
But I've had zero pain in so long, I'm not entirely sure what that feels like anymore.
Right. But it feels really good.
Compared to about 5 minutes ago, yeah.
Well, we praise God for that. Thank you. Awesome. Thanks. So you guys can sit down. That's fine. Thank you so much. And obviously, we give all praise to God because there was nothing, any of the words that I used, did I like say abracadabra or go like this or I don't know. I mean, no. We commanded the pain to go in Jesus' name. You guys think you could do that? It's weird at first. Trust me, it's weird. But it's the authority you have. So right now what we're going to do, first I want to, let's pray for people that are not in the room. So if you guys have someone, and I'm just going to ask that you just stand up. But if you have somebody that has, I don't know, if they have cancer, if they have, I mean, guys, this is anything. I mean, if you know somebody who struggles with Asperger's, Jesus loves them and wants them to, I mean, like, I don't care what it is. So if you have whatever it is, you don't got to tell me what it is. Just stand up if you know somebody that needs prayer and that's not in this room. And not everybody has to, like, it's okay if you, what I'm going to ask is, if you're sitting down, what I need you to do is I need you to go find somebody. So if you're sitting down, I need you to go find somebody. Right now, go find somebody. Go stand next to them. If you're sitting down, go find somebody. It doesn't matter who, but you're going to have to split up. Don't all go as a family. Like, we're all going to pray for one person. Split up. Go find somebody. We're going to pray for a lot of people. It's going to be great. All right, how about you put your hands up if you don't have somebody yet? If you need somebody to pray, and then once you have somebody, put your hand down. All right, we got more people. Who else can pray? It's not going to be up front or anything. You're just praying with this person, so it's not anything too crazy. All right, is there anybody else that has not found somebody yet? All right, Dan, why don't you come up here? Can you guys pray for each other's stuff? Okay. Ideally, this sounds kind of crazy, but I don't want, like, just your spouse to pray for them. Because if I know you well enough, I know that you've probably been praying about this a lot. So I want somebody else to come in and enter in and pray for that person. Does that make sense? So if possible, I would like for that to happen. So if you guys could, maybe you and Dan, Megan, could you go with Chris maybe? And Macy and Josh can't go together, so you guys got to find somebody else. All right, this is what we're going to do. In just a second, I want you to ask that person, and please don't share a long story. Ask that person who needs prayer and what do they need prayer for. Maybe I can pray with you guys We can do that. What needs to be prayed for? So if it's, I have an uncle that has cancer, if I have this or that, whatever it is, maybe get their name, and then I want you to pray. But again, just like I prayed, we are not praying, wishing, hoping, maybe God will do something. We are standing in faith, believing the very scriptures that we have today, that heaven's going to come to earth now. Now. Jesus said, even with other people, like, remember the lady that came, I think it was her daughter, he said, no, your daughter's healed right now. Or no, maybe it was a centurion. He said, your daughter's healed right now. He went back that very hour that he said that, he was healed. Jesus wasn't even in physical proximity to them. But he said it, at the name of Jesus, they're healed. So people will be healed right now, even if they're not in this room. Does that make sense? So all I want you to do is just quick ask, hey, what do you need prayer for? And then it doesn't have to be a long prayer. I don't want it to be a long prayer. Make it quick. Pray. And then I'm going to take it from there, if that makes sense. All right, go. Remember, don't pray too long. Don't pray too long. Make it quick. Make it quick. When you guys are done, feel free to sit down. If you're listening to me and you have these people that you just prayed for, if you have their phone numbers or emails, either way, however you do it, ideally their phone numbers, if you could text them or message them, or if you're going to see them sometime soon, tell them. I want you to text them right now and you tell them that we prayed for them, that we prayed for them to be healed, and that you want to confirm with them that they have been, or that we've prayed for them. So one, what we're doing is we're building our own faith that the prayers we just prayed matter. They do. Because we pray for them in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name, things got to go and things got to move. So people are going to be healed today, right now, because of the people that we just prayed for. So I ask that you just text them, send them a message. Again, if you're going to see them later this week, maybe you just tell them, hey, we prayed for you. Have you felt any different? Like, ask for them to assess themselves. Hey, do you feel anything different? Does that make sense? Pretty simple. Okay. I want to pray for people here specifically that have pain in their body. So I'm just going to ask, if you have any pain in your body, if you have bad mobility, if you have bad knees, and even if you think, oh, I'm just old, I don't care. Jesus loves old people and wants to touch them. So it doesn't really matter your age. He is our healer. He makes us well. So, but here's also the token in this. Jesus walked up to the lame man. He said, what do you want me to do for you? Why did you ask that, Jesus? I'm lame. What do you mean, what do you want me to do for you? He said, what do you want me to do for you? Want to know why? Because he cares. And he cares that you actually want what it is that he wants. It didn't change what Jesus wanted. Jesus wanted for him to walk. And he saw him walk because he said, get up. So I'm going to ask you right now, if this is you, if you have any pain, I don't care what it is, you don't need to be embarrassed, anything, and you're like, I want to be healed, that's what Jesus is asking you right now. What do you want me to do for you? So first, we're doing physical healing. So if you want like prayer for other things, we're going to do that too. But like, this is just like a physical thing. If you have pain, someone better pray for my mom's arm because she's going to get healed. So, but it can't be my dad. So again, I want you guys to pray for each other. There's something, I pray for Megan all the time because she's my wife. But there's something about somebody else coming in and praying in faith and something happens. I don't get it all the time. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. But it's just who Jesus is, okay? So right now, hopefully not everybody has pain in their body. If you have pain in your body right now, please stand up. You need healing for. It could be a disorder you have. I've been prayed over. I have a blood disorder. I'm believing in faith that I've been healed of that. I'm excited to get my levels checked next because I'm believing my levels are going to be high. It's going to be awesome. So, all right, no other people, are you sure? No other people need healing right now. You have chronic issues? I mean, anything in your body. It doesn't have to be a little pain. If you can't move your shoulder, if like, when I do this, this hurts. I don't know what it is. What?
I might have a word of knowledge for somebody. Does somebody have back pain on the left side and lower back? Like a little bit of a burning?
So maybe my wife? I like that word. That's a good word for her. Yeah, food allergies. Stand up. Come on. If it's like all the, like, We do not need to live life just, I can't do this. That's not what Jesus asked us to do. We can be healed of these things. We will be right now. Okay, so if you're around these people, and again, I know it sounds mean, but I'm asking for, I want someone else to come to my mom that maybe doesn't even know my mom. So if you're sitting down, please go. And the rest of you can still pray for her, but I want for people to go, please go find people that are standing up right now. So if you're sitting down, go find people that are standing up. And ideally, if you've prayed for somebody before, I'm going to just ask you, go to somebody else. I know it sounds mean, just go to somebody else. Jesus works awesome in the body and the family, and he wants to touch us. So, okay, so for just a quick moment, I'm going to ask that the person that needs prayer, please just share really quickly what they need prayer for and what's going on. Share really quickly what they need prayer for and what's going on. Okay, so after they share, here's what I'm going to ask. In the same way that we just prayed, you pray in authority of Jesus, in the Holy Spirit. You believe. Again, these signs follow them that believe. So signs are going to follow us today because we're believing on Jesus. And at Jesus' name, we are healed. By his stripes, we're healed. He died so that we would be healed. We need to believe right now the people we're praying for, Jesus is going to touch them. And by you laying hands on them even, they're going to be healed. Does that make sense? So you bless this person, then you pray in authority, and you command that thing to be well, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. All right? All right, go. Oh, Jesus, right now. Come on. More Father. Complete healing right now. Complete Jesus. More Jesus. You don't need to pray too long. And don't feel everybody needs to pray either. It's okay if one person prays, that's okay. All right, so if you're still praying, that's fine. You can finish praying in a sec or keep praying, but If you can, please assess where they're at now. And if you can't know right now, like if it's a, you know, like an allergy or something, that's okay. But assess if they're feeling anything, if they felt anything. Assess where they're at right now. So ask them if they can test it. They can test it. That'd be awesome. All right, right where you're at, please, hey, turn and face me really quick. Shh. Okay, so if right now you're prayed for and you experience like 80% or complete healing right now, just go like this. Sweet. Awesome. Another one right here? Awesome. Okay, so that wasn't everybody. And so what I'm going to ask is we go back and pray again right now. Now, again, just because I don't see something the first time, or if some of you guys, if you have an allergy or something, don't feel you got to, I mean, but honestly, even with an allergy, sometimes Jesus will still touch us and even still give us a feeling or a sensation or something. So I always still ask, what do you feel right now? Is there anything going on? Do you feel anything? And sometimes something's going on. Sometimes not. It's okay. So don't feel you got to keep going. It's totally up to you. But for those who still are in pain or have not been completely healed, and you heard me say it with the second time we prayed for Dan, but something that you also have the authority over, remember, who has no authority? The enemy. So we have all authority, and so clearly, if something's not moving, it's the enemy that is holding on to it. Okay? They're not being possessed by the enemy, but it's the enemy who's holding on to it. So, quite often what I'll do is, if I'm not seeing movement, I will bind. Right now, I bind the spirit of infirmity, and I cast it out right now in Jesus' name. You don't got to say those exact words. But I bind it because the spirit of infirmity is what is holding on to whatever it is that we're praying for. Does that make sense? So I bind it and I cast it out in Jesus' name. I command, be healed right now in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, people have to be healed. But I'm communicating to the devil, you have no authority over this person's knees, back. I don't care what I'm praying for. You have no authority. We have the authority in through the Holy Spirit, okay? So really quick. Pray for those people right now, and then we're going to come back real quick. All right? Ready, set, go. So many times. All right, remember, it doesn't have to be a long prayer. Make it quick. Make it quick, not just because I'm antsy, but just make it quick. All right, and then again, please assess it. Where is it at? Is it any better? Is it a little better? Is it a lot better? All right, is there anybody that the second time you prayed, something happened? Like, put your hand up. Something happened?
I feel like I just walked to my car.
Can you do it?
Yeah, do it.
Can you show us?
Let's go.
And it feels good. A lot different than what it did.
Stand up straight.
She can stand up straight. That's amazing. Wow. Awesome. And we say, thank you, Jesus, right? It's not about anybody else. It's about Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody else that felt, second time,
yeah,
completely better?
Not completely better, but I've not been able to
Wow. So thankful. He's sitting on his knees if you can't see. Wow. Praise God. That's awesome. Anybody else that something happened? Nothing? No? Okay. Really quick. I know this is going like so long, but Jesus is really awesome. And I think when Jesus touches people. So if wherever you're at, I'm just going to ask you just raise your hand. And again, we need to cast all shame out. Shame does not belong here. This is the church. This is the body. We love each other. And that's the root of all of this is love. Jesus loves us. He loved people and he touched people and he still does today. If right now you have, if you're dealing with anxiety, if you're dealing with any sort of depression, if you're dealing with any like internal, emotional, even spiritual like battle, and you want prayer, I ask you just raise your hand. No shame. Okay, we got one. Someone get by her. Anybody else? We got one over here. We got two. Okay. All right, so really quick with those people. And if you're not by those people, I just ask in a second, like when you pray, just put a hand out. If you could just share real quick of like, hey, I'm struggling with an anxiety or I've struggled with whatever it is that you specifically want prayer for. And then we're going to pray for it. It's going to be awesome. So just quick share right now with whoever it is, whoever you're praying with. People might need Reuben and Dan. They might need people to pray over them over there. Is that right? Yes? All right, so after you share, I don't need to keep coaching, but this, like, it is no different than a physical ailment. The spirit of anxiety, the spirit of depression, the spirit of all those things are not of God. And by the authority of Jesus, they have to leave. So you pray in the same power, the same authority that you did before. It's no different. You pray that the Holy Spirit washes them. You pray that they feel that and sense that right now. All right, go. So for those who are prayed over, and again, if you didn't feel anything, you didn't sense anything, like don't make it up. If you felt like a physical something lift off your shoulders as they prayed, like just raise your hand. If you felt a physical something lift off your shoulders as they prayed, or off your chest, I don't know, off your head, raise your hand. You got one? Praise God. That's awesome. That's awesome. One time I was in juvie, and I was praying for a few kids. And I had them, I'm not allowed to touch them, so I had them put their hands on anything that they wanted prayer for. But I also had them put their hands in their hearts if they wanted prayer for. And several kids said they felt something physical lift off of them when we prayed. And one kid even, he goes, I didn't even put my hand in my arm, but my arm was hurting really bad, and all my pain's gone. I'm like, nobody touched him. Like, so that's the power of God. I don't ask because I want to, like, no, I ask because I know how real God is. He's as real, more real than your skin, and this is what he does. And so when he does something, I want to bring glory to God, and that's how you bring glory to God, by giving testimony. Does that make sense? So going from here, you guys who didn't experience physical healing, you may experience physical healing in an hour, in a week, in 2 weeks. You may experience something at a later point. Regardless of when you experience it, we just give praise to God. We say thank you, okay? So whenever it is, and if you didn't experience something, don't walk out of here thinking God doesn't love me, because that is far from the truth, okay? God loves you, and if you want more prayer, like, I'm all game. I'd love to lay hands on anybody. But also know that the people that you texted, continue to expect that God's going to move in those ways. It is who he is. It is what he does, and we need to hold him as that, okay? I love you. Can I just, I don't know, Todd, you want to bless them? This is your this is your people.
Yeah, can we say thank you to Barry for leading us today? And why don't we have the worship team come up and lead us in a final song, and then we have the benediction.